Good morning, Tash.
Morning.
We're reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and that's on page 741. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you, Ross. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Lord God of heaven, meet with us now, we pray. Risen Lord Jesus, speak to us and help us to listen. We pray for your glory. Amen. Thank you so much, Kellen, for sharing your amazing story of the grace of God and his work in your life. When Kellen was attacked, her injuries were extremely serious. She spoke of how in that moment she audibly heard the voice of God speaking to her, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you." And then she blacked out, and it looked like death. She was airlifted to hospital in a coma for 2 weeks. But then her eyes opened. Light. Life. Suffering was not the end of the story. The darkness of what looked like death was followed by the light of life. This story here in Isaiah 53, the story of this song that Isaiah records for us, is even more remarkable than that. This story arc is even more extreme. A man called Isaiah spoke these words from God hundreds of years before Jesus was actually born, but it's very clear that he's speaking about Jesus and about what happened at Easter. He describes this servant who would suffer the most appalling, excruciating ways, and yet it wouldn't be for his own wrongdoing, for he had none. He would suffer and die in the place of others, somehow paying their punishment for them. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross in the place of all who trust in him. And so by the time we get to verse 9, I wonder, Carlo, could you just turn me down a touch? It's ringing a little. Thank you. By the time we get to verse 9, look where Jesus is. He's in a grave. He's described as in death, assigned a grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death. By verse 9, he is dead and buried, quite literally. And yet the remarkable thing is that this song goes on. Verse 9 is not the end. The remarkable thing is that suffering and even death are not the end of the story. Verse 10 is up on the screen. Though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. So even after this offering was made, even after this sacrifice of death, yet this servant is going to see his children. He's going to prolong his days. There seems to be this expectation of living beyond death. It says it again in verse 11. After he has suffered, and we know that this suffering includes actual death, because verse 8 says he was cut off from the land of the living. And yet after he has suffered, he will see the light of life. Kellen, after 2 weeks of darkness, opened her eyes once more and saw the light of life. Jesus, after 2 days of darkness, on the third day, opened his eyes. Once more, light streamed into his eyes, and he saw the light of life. And this is even more remarkable, even more extreme, because Jesus hadn't been in a coma. He was actually dead, certified by a professional, and yet beyond death, life. Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment for Kellen? I actually asked her about this last week. What was it like to open your eyes for the first time after 2 weeks? She said, I just wanted to go back to sleep. But the nurse wouldn't let me go back to sleep. Of course the nurse wouldn't let her because she'd been so close to death, but now there was life. Can you imagine that moment for Jesus? First, can you imagine the darkness as his eyes closed in death there on the cross? And can you imagine the complete and utter darkness as the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, dead and buried in complete darkness? And yet on Sunday morning, the stone rolls away, dawn breaks, the sun rises as the sun rises. Jesus, for the first time in days, opens his eyes and the light pours in. Can you imagine that moment? Songwriter Andrew Peterson imagines the moment well in his song. His heart beats. His blood begins to flow. Waking up what was dead a moment ago. And his heart beats. Now everything is changed because the blood that brought us peace with God is racing through his veins and his heart beats. His heart beats. He breathes in. His living lungs expand. The heavy air surrounding death turns to breath again. He breathes out. He is word and flesh once more. The Lamb of God slain for us is a lion ready to roar, and his heart beats. He took one breath and put death to death. Death, but then life. Darkness, light. And verse 11 says, after he has suffered, he will see this light of life and be satisfied. Do you know that feeling of a job well done? Maybe you've finished a project at work or an essay at school, or maybe it's a really good piece of DIY that you've done at home, and you take a look at what you've accomplished and you're really happy with it. You're satisfied. Well, so this servant, on the other side of his own death, his eyes will see the fruit of his labor. What did his suffering and death actually achieve? By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. By his knowledge, that is, by his personal experience of pain, by the suffering that he had just gone through, my righteous servant will justify many. To justify someone is to declare them right in God's sight. Imagine the courtroom of heaven, and when it's your turn to stand in that dock, someone declares the verdict not guilty. That's what it means to be justified. And naturally, none of us are not guilty. None of us are right in God's sight because of our sin, our wrongdoing. The ways that we are twisted out of shape from what God made us to be and commands us to be. I don't need to convince you that you're not perfect. We all know that. But that's a big problem because God is. We are the ones who rightly deserve that suffering and death. That's the sentence for treason against God, our King. We are not right in God's sight. And yet this servant, and we know it's talking about Jesus, he's described as someone who will justify many. Jesus is able to make them right in God's sight. How? By bearing their iniquities. Sin. This is why Jesus died on the cross. We can never pay off our own debt, no matter how hard we try. It is not up to us to clean ourselves up. We cannot reduce our sentence through good behavior. We cannot make ourselves right, but we don't need to. Jesus, the sinless one, died to take on our sin and to pay off our punishment. So now, as someone who has trusted in Jesus, that thing that makes me guilty has been removed, and so I am declared not guilty. The thing that made me wrong in God's sight has been dealt with, so I am declared right in God's sight. This is what the servant died to do. This is the fruit of his labors. This is what his suffering achieved. And this is the thing that he will see and be satisfied in, that he has justified many. He will see for himself, even after his death, Jesus will see for himself that his suffering has brought life to others. Those are the offspring that he talks about in verse 10. Jesus did not have any biological children, but through his death, he has saved for himself the family of God, which includes Kellen. And you know, those who are his offspring have something great in store, because this servant, this risen Lord Jesus, has a great reward. Take a look at what verse 12 says and try and get your head around this. Verse 12. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. So therefore, because he bore the iniquities of many, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Because Jesus bore the sin of many, which meant pouring his life out unto death to pay for that sin, Because he has accomplished the mission that was laid out for him, what is he given? He is given a portion. He is given great honor and glory. But did you notice how he doesn't keep it for himself? I will give him a portion among the great. Or actually, if you look in the footnote of your Bibles, you'll see that that word great could be translated as the many. I will give him a portion among the many, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, or it could be translated the numerous. I will give him a portion among the many. He will divide the spoils with the many. This is the same group that he's just been talking about. He bore the sin of many. He justifies many. And now he divides the spoils with those same people, the many. It's the image of a conquering hero who has won a great battle and now shares the goodies with his people. This is astonishing for us who are following Jesus, because what this means is that our Lord Jesus, through his death and resurrection, praise God for this, has defeated the great enemies. He has defeated sin, amen? He has defeated Satan, amen? He has defeated death, amen? And in his resurrection victory, he shares with his people that which he has won for them, his life, eternal life. Here's what's in store for those whose sins he bore. We get to share in his resurrection life. That's the life that Kellen has come to share in for herself. What's striking about Kellen's story? Many things. One of the things is that what happened to her physically is such a close parallel to what has happened to her spiritually. Darkness, light. During those 2 weeks in a coma, Kellen had a dream. She said, I had a dream that has stuck with me. In my dream, I was a skeleton being brought back to life. A body lying on a bed being put back together. And she said, I now know that God was speaking to me through that dream. That's what Jesus has done for Kellen. That powerful dream is a vivid picture of what God has done for her spiritually. Brought from death to life. Kellen is a sinner who would naturally be heading for an eternal death, but now she is trusting in Jesus to bear her sin, to pay her punishment, to make her right with God. And because of Jesus, Kellen has life today. And not just the life of her physical body, though as she so clearly says, she knows she owes that to Jesus. But not simply the life of her physical body, which one day will die. But now, Kellen gets to share in Jesus' unbreakable resurrection life. She gets to live with him and speak to him in the ups and downs of life in a broken world. And Kellen now has that sure hope that when Jesus returns, he will give her a perfectly restored resurrection body. She will be able to run into his strong arms. She will be able to sing his praises fluently without any struggles. And she will live forever. In that day, everything broken will be restored. Every wound will be healed. There'll be no more suffering. No more death. No more darkness. Only light and life. That's what's in store for sinners who've had their sin taken on to him. That's what Kellen has in store. That's what she's declaring today. And the question for each and every one of us is, are you among those whose sin Jesus bore? Do you share in his eternal life? You can receive that today simply by believing in him. Ask him now to take away your sin, to help you to live for him. You don't have to use any special words. You don't have to be fluent. Come to him as you are, and he will hear as you call out to him. I'm going to leave a few moments of quiet now. for us to respond to the risen Lord Jesus as he calls you today. Let's have a few moments of quiet. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your death on the cross in the place of sinful people like us. And thank you for this offer of life that is ours today. We praise you that darkness was followed by light, that death was followed by life, and that as we trust in you, our lives share the same pattern. We thank you for that hope of eternal life that we have, a life that starts now and continues on beyond the death of our physical bodies. We praise you. Because that is what you've won for us, and that is what you share with us. Risen Lord Jesus, we worship you, and we give you all the praise. Amen. Before we dunk Kellen under the water as a symbol of death to life, we're going to sing a song that Kellen has chosen for today. A song which describes something of the great and awesome character of the God that she knows and loves. Now, we'd love the children to all be in for the baptism. So if you have children either upstairs or in minis, could you go and grab them now? Bring them back. If you'd like to bring children towards the front, we can come round the front so that everyone can see, including the little ones. So let's make those movements as we stand and sing this song together. Great. Do bring yourself forward if you would like. Get yourself into a position where you can see or half see what's going on at the front. Patrick and Jonathan will come and sit beside Kellen. And Harrison, would you like to hold on to this?
Harrison.
Here we go. So your mum can see that. We'll come over in a minute for that. Sorry, can I just squeeze through? Sorry. Okay, as we gather around, let me just explain something of what baptism is about. Baptism is a visible sign of the gospel, a visible sign of what has already happened in Kellen's life, as we've heard so clearly today. It's a picture of what Jesus has done and a picture of what Jesus has done in Kellen. And so it's a picture of what Jesus has done, because as Kellen goes down into the water, that's a picture of Jesus when he went down into the grave, dying in the place of sinners like us. But Jesus did not stay in the grave. He came back up out of the grave in resurrection victory. And that's what Jesus has done for Kellen. She has been united with Christ, and therefore her identity is bound up with his. She has died to her old way of life, to her sin and to her old way of life, and she has been raised to new life in the Lord Jesus. It's not just something that's happened physically for Kellen, but spiritually as well. And so that's what we're expressing today in this baptism. It is not, perhaps actually those who are on the front row, could you just take a little seat down so that people behind you can then see as well? As long as you can still see. There you go, that's great. So there's nothing particularly special about this blow-up pool, which is deflating slightly, or the water which came from the tap out there. It's not holy water. This doesn't actually wash Kellen. You'll still have to have a shower today. This doesn't replace that. It doesn't wash away your sins, but it's a picture of what Jesus has already done for Kellen. As Kellen gets baptized, she and we are publicly declaring something. We are declaring that something has already happened. So, Kellen, the Lord Jesus Christ calls all people to repent of their sin and to put their trust in him. As an outward symbol of that repentance and faith, he commands his disciples to be baptized. You have given testimony today to the way that God has been at work in your life to reveal himself to you through Jesus and to bring you forgiveness and new life through the gospel. And so we ask, here we go. Do you turn away from sin and evil, asking God the Father for his forgiveness through the sacrificial death of Jesus? Do you turn to Christ, seeking the Holy Spirit's help to take up your cross and to follow him?
I do.
What is your faith?
Jesus is the Lord.
Amen. Kellen, on your profession of your repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey! Good. As we stand together, shall we sing? I don't know if the band are here. They are ready. Great. Let's sing the words that come up on the screen.
And oh.
Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our gladness when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
Please do take a seat. And before we close, one extra special thing. So if you are a youngster, try and stay nice and quiet, because we have got Dorothy performing a poem, taking us back to that first Easter day and what it means for us. Are you using this microphone or this one? This one? Yeah, so we'll turn on the reader's mic and over to Dorothy.
When we enter a dark room, our hands on the wall are like fumbling spiders seeking out the light switch. And if the fuse glitches, we'll strike a match and watch the flame tame the darkness into light. Our lives spent in the flickering white phone screen, fleeing darkness, pursuing the scene. For even when on the fringe of winter, when light begins, it sings, all things suddenly tinged with the ring of spring. And we'll all chime in, set your clocks forward, British summertime starts tomorrow. When the sun rises, the people follow. But batteries run out and fires grow cold. Night always comes. Dark has never grown old. Just look and see, it's around 30 AD, in a spot just outside the Jerusalem city walls, on a hill they call the Place of the Skull, there is darkness. A blackened sky resides for three terrifying hours, darkness smothering the midday's vigorous heat at the moment an innocent man's heart no longer beats. This man has been betrayed, beaten, bruised, broken and bound, and they bet on who gets his clothes. The man who gave his all, more stripped from him with every blow, then hoisted above the crowds onto a cross built for torture. Crucifixion, that's what it was, an ancient form of execution where a person is nailed to a cross. Did you know the pain derived from crucifixion was so intense that the Romans had to create a new word for it? A new word for the pain of death by cross. And that new word is the root word of our word, excruciating. As the righteous man hung with his nails, with his wrists nailed out wide, suffocating and mocked for hours until he died, the pain was excruciating. And it's painful too to listen to the horror that unfurled. But we must realize this was Jesus. He was there before the beginning of the world. Once a woman emptied expensive perfume atop his head. Once this man was praised for raising a small girl from the dead. Once wine flowed abundantly from what once was water. Once people crowded because we couldn't get enough of what was taught us. Once laughter erupted from his dinner guests that the lowliest would have scorned. And now the only thing pouring is blood from the young man crammed into a crown of thorns, the Prince of Peace. And as he gasps his final breaths, the sky is drenched in darkness. How utterly bleak. Look how our king is naked. Look how he is weak. Jesus had said it would cost, but everything seemed lost the moment that he was put to death on a cross. Here surely reigns darkness. And you know what's more, that the piece of the puzzle that grimly perfects the scene, it was my darkness that held him there on that tree. Generation after generation rejecting the one who would leave the 99 sheep to seek after the one who had no shadow of darkness within, my iniquities, my transgressions cast on the head of him who with the world at his feet lowered himself to wash the feet of his friends, lowered himself to suffer the most humiliating of deaths. On the third day, we assumed the whispers whisked amongst friends and strangers were dives neck deep further into darkness galore. We thought they were the blind hanging on to the bare threads of old wives' folklore. But the rumours were true. Just as he said, Jesus unfathomably rose from the dead, out of the pit of darkness, the light of life. And he lives, even now, darkness defeated. At his feet it bows, because though batteries may run out and fires do grow cold, night may come, dark has never seemed so bold. There is hope, true life in every tomorrow, for when the sun rises, his people follow.
Jesus, the sun has risen and his people follow him. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, or if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus today, please do speak to me afterwards or anyone else that you've seen involved in the service. We'd love to talk to you about that. If you'd like to know more about the life of Jesus, then our gift to you is one of these books. It's a part of the Bible which explains Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension, and why that matters to us today. Please do take one of these for free on your way out if you would like to discover more. We also run flexible courses for people to explore Jesus. If you're just kind of getting introduced to Jesus, we'd love to help you with that, with a flexible, no-pressure course to help you ask any questions that you have about Jesus and why he came. So please don't let today pass by. Maybe Kellen's story can be your story. Death to life. The sun rises. Will you be someone who follows? Thank you so much for coming today. Do stick around. We have coffee and then lunch served afterwards. Everyone is welcome to stay if you would like to do so. But thank you so much for coming.